The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
I can hear myself now.
I can hear you, too.
So this is the big show, Fred and Jeff Show, and we have a really, really cool show for you. This is something we previewed, a couple months ago when we had this guest on before, and now we have a product, and we're going to be talking about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a book.
It is a book.
It's a book. It's a big book. We get these guys on the show, other than Big Jim Griffiths, which is kind of funny. Big Jim has little books, and Bunny and Jim have big books.
Yeah.
So Jim Turner's got a big book here. So we're going to be talking to one of the show favorites, Jim Turner, in a bit after we get all of our silly stuff put aside, about his new book, Arizona, a Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. And what perfect timing, since we're coming up on a big Arizona birthday. Right, Fred?
That's next year. Months away. Months
yeah,
away.
But exactly. Come on. But first and foremost,
you know, and let's do something nice this time. So, our state's birthday is coming up. It's February 14th.
Right.
We're known as Valentine's Day. That might become valuable information down the road. At the end of this show, one never knows.
Yes, Fred.
One never knows.
Juan never knows. Does Juan?
Juan, no, he never knows.
So the Fred and Jeff Show would not be on the air if it weren't for our sponsors. So I always like to take a couple seconds at the beginning of every show and say thank you so much to our sponsors. And they include Casa de la Luz Hospice, Barker Morrissey Contracting, H&S Estate Gardening, The Monkey Burger, Power Women Investing, and your friends at Ronstadt Insurance. Oh, and Ackerley Advertising. How can I forget the new guys?
So, you shouldn't forget the new guys, because we're actually going to be bringing on some new advertisers.
We do. We have
next couple of months. We're so excited.
Well, let's talk about our first new advertiser today, Anthony's Cigars.
Anthony's Cigars.
That's right. Anthony's is our new Cigar of the Week guy.
Sponsor, yeah. They just opened up a third location over on Broadway and Craycroft.
The old Tinderbox. Right.
And Mike Toffel and his crew over at Anthony's, we're all excited about having them on board.
Yeah, we're very excited. And of course, the Coleman brothers at Mayfield Florist.
That's right.
They're still giving away a dozen roses.
We're the perfect couple show.
No, Fred, time out, Fred. You and I are not the perfect couple.
No, this is a perfect show for couples.
Because the guys
can call in,
yes,
and get flowers for the girls,
yes,
and the girls can find out what are the best cigars for their guys.
That's a Fred, you're a genius. Did you plan that?
Yes, I did.
Liar. So you got a couple fun things you want to talk about that are going on in the community too.
Oh yeah, okay. So this is really fun because this guy, he was our former producer with the big show. His name is Chuck Aubrey, and he had this group called
Led Zeppelin, they were like a tribute band.
Yeah, but I could Zeppelin, I don't know, something like that. He'll call in and kill me later. But Chuck Aubrey is doing a solo concert over at the Irish Pub this Thursday, October 6th. So if you're over at the Irish Pub, which is at 9155 East Tinker Verde, in that area, pop into the pub and have a Guinness and listen to Chuck from 5 to 7.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. And then Chuck also wrote a nice little first-person piece in the
yes,
Tucson Weekly about his experience on auditioning for The Voice.
Yeah.
So if you haven't picked up a weekly from last Thursday, there's a couple floating around out there.
Yeah, you got
pick
a couple
one
days
up
left.
Because it's a pretty funny article by Chuck. So also, we want to front-load ZooSon, the Reed Park Zoological Society, is holding their 18th annual Feast for the Beasts, the ZooSon. It's Saturday, October 15th, 6 o'clock at Reed Park Zoo. And you need to call 881-4753 to get your reservations or visit TucsonZoo.com. And this event is proudly sponsored by our friends at Casino del Sol. So remember, folks, ZooSon, we'll talk about them next week again, but ZooSon, the Feast for the Beasts at Reed Park Zoo on the 15th, Saturday the 15th at 6 o'clock. Get your tickets for that because they let all the little lion cubs out into the zoo this last week.
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, you know,
you could go on Facebook and check out the Reed Park Zoo's Facebook page, and it's got a picture of all three little, two little boys, one little girl cruising around. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So the zoo, our zoo just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, well, yeah, it always does. And then, and if you've been there recently, you know that the elephant exhibit is getting near completion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the zoo, one of our favorite things to talk about on the Fred and Jeff Show is the zoo, mostly because Fred and I spent a lot of time in our youth there trapped in the monkey cages.
That's right.
But also because it's just a fabulous, fabulous place to go for the family. And then the last thing we want to talk about...
Well, a couple of things. The big chili cook-off.
The big chili cook-off with the Sportsman's Fund, the Arizona Daily Star Sportsman's Fund, a group that's near and dear to my heart. It's the Send a Kid to Camp group, has a chili cook-off, and I think it's put together by the Old Bastards Club at Jonathan's Cork, and it's October 15th from 12 to 2, and they have got all kinds of restaurants coming out to do the chili cook-off, and they'd include Brushfire Barbecue, Bushi Traditional Japanese and Asian Cuisine, Chad Steakhouse, Eclectic Cafe, Frankie South Philly Cheesesteaks, Jonathan's, of course, Pastiche, Modern Eatery, Rick's Cafe, and Risky Business. So, noon at Jonathan's Cork on Tank Verde, you'll have the chili cook-off, raises a bunch of money for the Sportsman's Fund on October 15th. Then after that, after you've extinguished the fire coming out of your mouth, head on over to Zusan.
That's perfect.
And then you got one more thing.
One more thing, Tucson Roller Derby.
Right.
They have an intrastate bout coming up on October 15th, a couple weeks away. We'll probably have the girls on next week to tell us all about it. And their fundraiser this year, I mean, this month, every month they choose a charity to contribute their funds to, is the Slaughterhouse, obviously. And the Slaughterhouse actually raises money for a lot of good stuff. So they'll be in studio to tell us all about that.
It's hard, you know, Fred, it's hard to believe that it's already Halloween time.
I know.
Where did this year go?
I know. I sent an email to Bambina, who is our contact for Tucson Roller Derby. And one of the Tucson Roller Derby girls actually put together the Slaughterhouse and has done it for several years and raising a lot of money for a lot of people.
So, Fred, do you know what you're going to be for Halloween this year?
No.
Really? Not Harry Potter again or something like that?
I'll make something up for the radio program.
I think I'm going as a bowling pin.
Well, actually, Halloween, yeah, I'll be the bowling ball.
Tiana's already the bowling ball.
Weren't you Salt and Pepper last year?
We were Salt and Pepper. Yep. Tiana actually has kept the nickname Salty. I love you, honey. Hopefully, like, remember last week we were talking about the Tucson prunes. Oh, which reminds me, we went to Oktoberfest. What a great time. High Corbett, Oktoberfest. I ran into those guys that were on the show last week, and there was a couple hours left to go, and they said they were about $30,000 more. They'd raised $30,000 more than they did the year before. So they were very,
sweet.
Very happy.
That's sweet. That's
so,
what,
folks, thanks
that's
for...
That's because they came on the show.
I think so, too. So, folks, thanks for supporting the Oktoberfest folks. The Optimists, they do a great job.
Yeah, you know, we really appreciate you guys, our listeners, because you do go out and you support these things, and you know... A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Goonies over at the Loft helping.
Yeah,
Jimmy
that
Garo.
Was very successful.
And I mean, there's so many things that.
Well, it's indicative of our community, Fred.
It is.
I mean,
you
people out there, our listeners, and all the rest of the folks in the community, really get together to support the needy, support the folks that need your help. So thank you so much, and we will be right back. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back to talk to Jim Turner about his new book. So stick around.
Cowboy, riding all day.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
This is Lamont Hunley with Arizona Health. With your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. A heart rate monitor tracks your fitness training level to help you achieve your maximum results. If you're going too easy or pushing too hard, the heart rate monitor will prompt you to either slow down or speed up. This guidance makes it very easy to stay in your target zone, and it helps you to get the most out of your workout. The monitor, it includes a chest strap that is worn very comfortably around the chest area and a watch that displays this information. It's like having a coach on your wrist. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson. I'm a sidekick now? I like it.
Yeah, okay. In studio, we were talking about this before. In studio, we have with us Jim Titter, friend of the show. He was on a couple months ago, and we were talking about all sorts of Arizona history. And he was talking about the fact that he had a book coming out.
Yep.
And the book is out.
Here it is.
Beautiful, beautiful book. It's called Arizona, a Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Hey, Jim, for the folks that didn't tune into the last show, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, we moved to Tucson in 1951. I had asthma, so I'm one of those health seekers, and went right up the street here. I went to Alice Vale. I went to Rincon. And then years and years later, I went back to school, got a master's in U.S. history, and I worked for the Arizona Historical Society for about 7-8 years. And I just recently retired from there. Now I work for Rio Nuevo Publishers. 2 days a week, I'm an editor.
Really?
And just edited Big Jim Griffith's new book, which is called A Border Runs Through It.
Is that the one with Fitz doing the...
Fitz did the cartoons, and it's a compilation of a lot of his Arizona Illustrated stories. So it's just great. I spent the last 2.5 years writing this book.
Oh, my gosh. And I hate to do this, but... We forgot to mention Tucson Meet Yourself.
How did we blow that?
Oh. Tucson Meet Yourself is next week. And
The book will be there.
And the book, the Big Jim's book will be there. Yep. Goodness gracious, folks, if you don't know Tucson Meet Yourself, it is absolutely one of the premier events in the world where everybody comes out and introduces themselves from nationalities. I mean, you name it. You can have... Persian people, Polish people, local native people, Native Americans. I mean, it's...
Dancers, singers, food, crazy food.
Tucson, eat yourself is what Fred likes to call it.
Yeah, and Jim is not too happy about that.
Yeah, but Big Jim, we should have Big Jim on next week.
Well, he hopefully will be calling in.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's actually 2 weeks. It's October 14th through the 16th.
Right.
Friday through Sunday. And if you go to TucsonMeetYourself.org, you'll get all the information.
And there's tons and tons of stuff.
But we'll get Jim on.
Yeah, so Tucson Meet Yourself. And I can't believe we blew that. I can't believe we forgot about that. And, of course, the final thing that I wanted to mention was the St. Cyril's Fall Fair. Oh. The Fall Fair, my kid's school, St. Cyril's. Come over to St. Cyril's next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and there's a big carnival and a midway. St. Cyril's, the Fall Fair in Pima and... in Swan.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll have a great time. So anyhow, back to you.
Great.
So this book, by the way, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. I just opened it up and I'm on page 14 of the introduction, and there's a picture of Geronimo and Nache.
Nache.
And Nache was whose son?
Cochise's son,
and they're both sitting here at Fort Bowie after their final surrender. And I was telling Fred, this looks like a picture of me and Fred when we were kids waiting for Dad to get home. Because they do not look happy. They know they're in trouble. Wow. So tell us, what's the genesis of this book?
Well, when I was working as a historian at the Arizona Historical Society, I was co-author of a fourth grade textbook for Gibbs Smith Publishers. And they wanted to do a contract for two books. They wanted the textbook for fourth grade, and we did that, and it's an award-winning book. And it's about the same size, 8x10. And then they said, well, we want to do a centennial book. And you got to plan a ways out to create a book. And they had so many projects at the Historical Society, they didn't want to do the second book. So they offered it to me, and I retired from the Historical Society so that I could write this book. And I took probably four major trips and who knows how many minor trips to collect the photographs from museums all over the state. And so here we have it. It's got more than 520 pictures in it. I like to say that it's got more text than a picture book and more pictures than a textbook.
It's awesome.
And it is coffee table size.
It's a great book.
And, thanks.
You know,
thanks.
I went online, and you can get this at Amazon.com. If you just put in Jim Turner, it's the first book that comes up.
That's right.
And they have some sample.
They got a look inside feature.
Yeah. And there's some. And I was excited. You brought the book here, but I was excited to get here.
Sure.
Just to see this book, because just on Amazon, just some great pictures, some great text. Now, I was flipping towards the end, and you have a picture of the iconic The Thing.
Yes. I know what it is, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
You do not. Well, whenever we were passed by there when we were kids driving to wherever, you would refuse to get out of the car. You were scared of The Thing.
Oh, yeah. This is like an alternate universe you're discussing.
That's a beautiful picture.
But I was thinking that maybe we should tell people maybe there's a picture of The Thing in here.
Well,
they have to look for it.
Nah. I have taken pictures of The Thing, but I'll tell you, it's not all that interesting.
All right, you guys are cracking me up. Tell our listeners what The Thing is.
It's a mummified remains of American Indian.
Actually, it's a papier-mâché fake mummy.
Okay, but where would you see The Thing?
It's in the back of the museum there, outside of I think it's on your way to Wilcox.
I think so too.
Yeah. It's after Texas Canyon. It's the Johnson City exit, because there used to be a mining town there named Johnson City. So if you're on your way, and there's a Dairy Queen there and all of that, but there was a guy in the 1940s, my friend and co-historian Jane Eppinger did a lot of research, and she found all of the proof that the guy that did that in the 1940s also was an expert at making papier-mâché shrunken skulls, you know, shrunken heads.
Funny.
So, you know, that's why they never let anybody in to examine it. U of A wanted to go examine The Thing, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. So we'll probably get letters now from the people out there.
That's all right. Well, so, I'm still saying it's the mummified remains.
Yes. Okay. Stick to that story.
I am sticking to that story.
Yep.
So let's start at the beginning of this book. So you got the contract to make the Centennial book.
Sure, absolutely.
How do you start?
Well, I started with the photographs because I had to. In the contract, it says you will present high resolution 500 to 600 photographs. And I thought, well, if I don't get that, I don't have the book, you know. So I started on my trips around the state, taking pictures, going to museums, and taking actually pictures of inside museums, like that picture you're looking at there. It's a poster, Tucson, Arizona, but it's in the downtown Railroad Depot Museum. It's on the wall there, and I just took my little digital camera in there and got the picture.
So there's not really a place where people can go and find all of these pictures?
Oh, no. No,
so
they're from everywhere.
Really? So you kind of went to all the nooks and crannies all over the state?
I got 10 from Kingman and 12 from Thatcher and 10 from Florence at the Pinal County Historical Society Museum. Those are great folks out there. And 6 from Wilcox, 2 from Benson. So they've been in other books. Some have never been in any books before, but none have all been in the same book at the same time.
So that's interesting. So let me.
Well, certainly the ones you took have never been in any.
Absolutely. Books. I've got some from Lake Havasu City and Parker and Oatman. Got a picture of a burro in Oatman. You know, you got a.
What is it? Oh, a donkey.
Yeah.
So now, wait a second. Let me digress for a second. You're with the Arizona Historical Society.
Sure.
And the Arizona Historical Society has a huge amount of information in the history of Arizona.
Sure.
But you didn't call through all that information. You went out and got
it. Oh, I did. I did.
Okay, so you started with
a lot of this stuff comes from my teaching notes. I taught for the U of A for one semester. I taught for Pima. I taught the docents. So I had a lot of notes for the writing part of it. But I got 53 photos from the Arizona Historical Society.
So about 10%.
The classics, there's a picture in there of Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson. So, you know, when you got to get the Geronimo pictures or something else, you have to go to the Historical Society because they've got the best pictures. But I went to all the other little ones to get the mining pictures and, you know, just things that you'd never seen before.
So there's a picture in here of gamblers who like to call themselves the Knights of the Green Felt.
Yes.
And these guys, where are these guys at?
Well, it's a saloon in Tucson. I'm not sure which one. But
so this guy right here looks like my buddy David Fay. But he, you know, you got pictures of just all over the place.
Well, there's a lot of scenic pictures, too. I mean, I'm looking at Canyon de Chelly right there. And I did get, I was able to purchase pictures. I had a small photo budget, but Jerry Jaca has some pictures in here, and Jack Dykinga, and they're award-winning Arizona Highways photographers. But the paintings, you just went by a painting here. This is Maynard Dixon.
Chapter 2, Arizona Indians Past and Present.
Yeah. Maynard Dixon painted in of Arizona in the Four Corners in the Southwest from 1904 to the 1940s. And they're just beautiful
This
paintings.
Is a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
The Kachina Maker, he painted this in 1923?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's great. So you start with the pictures,
yep.
And the pictures in themselves tell all kinds of great stories.
Absolutely.
And then you just kind of built from there.
Well, I had my teaching notes, mm-hmm. So I knew. And I had to turn in like an 8-page outline of what I was going to cover in the book proposal. So I knew, you know, that I was going to start with prehistory. I was going to go all the way to the present. And I knew, well, Mexican War and Civil War at Picacho. And there's certain things that you have to include.
Sure.
And so I just went through it. The hard part was keeping it to 60,000 words.
I was going to say 100 years, because you did go to prehistoric times.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, so you're talking the beginning of time to today.
That's right.
How did you condense that in 8 pages?
Practice.
But it was probably a lot of,
I went over it and threw stuff out and threw stuff out and threw stuff out. And I just said, I've just got to cut it to the bone.
What's the one thing you wish you could have kept in the book? Hindsight. Is there one thing that kind of, that was right there on the fence, the last cut?
That would have been last November when I finished the manuscript. And, mm-hmm. and it's just like, you know, now I think, oh, I should have gotten a picture of this or a picture of that. But offhand, I can't think of anything that's. I would have done more sidebars where there's, you know, like Federico Ronstadt. I could have done. I only did a couple of little sidebars, like Olive Oatman, who was captured by Indians. And there's another sidebar on how the Grand Canyon became grand. And so these are little asides that are kind of a separate little story. And I would have liked to do more of those about Mickey Free, the Apache scout, and that kind of thing where, you know.
Sounds like you got another book in the works.
Well, you never know. I have two ideas. And they told me that Gib Smith said that they want to see the next proposal that I have.
So who's Gib Smith?
Gib Smith is the publisher.
Great. That's great.
Yep.
Wow. So in the second half of the show, you're going to be here in the whole second half with us, right?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Good. We want to talk about some of your favorite stories, favorite things in the book, because we really want people to go get the book.
Yep.
And folks, again, it's Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. It's by our friend Jim Turner. Right now, the easiest place to get it is on Amazon.
Sure.
But is there anywhere locally they can, like Antigone Books or any of those places?
Well, I believe it's going to be in Barnes & Noble. I just heard that they're going to be having it at the Tumacacori National Park. But on October 22nd, I'm having the book launching at the Medicine Man Gallery. And so that's going to be – Ted Ramirez is going to be there.
Oh, we love Ted Ramirez.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, the official troubadour of –
Yeah, that's October 22nd. It's a Saturday from 4 to 6. Medicine Man Gallery, 7,000 Tankaverde.
That's it.
Right where Sabino Canyon comes into Tankaverde.
All right, so folks, we got to take a break for the news, but we will be back in about 4 minutes to continue our conversation with Senor Jim Turner, so stick around.
Traded his gun for a brown plastic briefcase, tied a sweater around his neck, and now he barbecues out on the deck. I can't believe that G.I. Joe's married Barbie.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Amanda Knox has landed in Seattle after 4 years in prison in Italy on a murder charge. She was exonerated yesterday. There won't be an NBA preseason. The league canceled the preseason schedule because no collective bargaining agreement's been reached with the Players Association. Association President Derek Fisher says it's possible the regular season could be affected too.
We find ourselves at a point today where we in some ways anticipated or expected to be faced with a lockout that may jeopardize portions, if not all, of our season.
The man in charge of liquidating Ponzi schemer Bernard Madoff's securities company says his victims will get back the first chunk of the stolen money tomorrow. Irving Picard says some $312 million in recovered money will be distributed. The man accused of trying to blow up a commercial flight with a bomb hidden in his underwear entered court today shouting anti-American statements. Jury selection is underway, with testimony in his trial set to start next week. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Let's all stay very zen. Chase Freedom is giving away $1 million in the $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes. Deep breath. Glide to your computer, like the Chase Freedom Facebook page, and enter for your chance to win. Ooh, I am bad at zenning. Get your cash back in the Chase Freedom $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Sweepstakes ends 10-23-11. Void where prohibited. Open to U.S. residents 21 or older. For complete official rules on how to enter, go to facebook.com/chasefreedomcashback. Facebook not associated with this promotion.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
With everyone working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you could host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from a computer or iPad. And now they can join from the iPhone or any Android mobile device, too. Download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions, or host your own meetings with a free 45-day trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use promo code 45.
Hi, I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona, and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is the Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm with my brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are completely excited about having a new sponsor today. Anthony's Cigar Emporium just opened a third location at Broadway and Craycroft. And online with us is the Stud Muffin himself, Tyler. How you doing, Tyler?
How you doing, Fred?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for joining the big show.
Yeah.
So we are continuing our wonderful Cigar of the Week program.
Yeah.
And you guys are kicking in that. So what do you guys got cooking for us for Cigar of the Week?
Cigar of the Week is going to be Cane Daytona, which is a new cigar from Oliva. It's a medium body Nicaraguan cigar using all Jalapa Lajeros. This part of Nicaragua is renowned for full body cigars, so it's a lot of spice, but it's a little creamy on the finish. More medium body, great smoke.
Nice. It sounds nice, Tyler.
Now, where do people go to get these tasty sticks?
Well, we've got three locations. We've got the original store on Oracle McGee. We've got the second location on Swan and Grant, and the brand new location that just opened up today on Broadway and Craycroft in the Williams Center.
Man, I was there today, and that humidor is stuffed packed. Packed stuff with cigars. It looks great in there.
A lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good stuff.
Wonderful, wonderful. And
yes, don't point at me.
No, you were giving me finger symbols.
Are we doing a deal?
Oh yeah, and we have the deal. It's buy three get one free, right?
The deal is buy three get one free all week long at all three locations. Cane Daytona.
All right.
Perfect. 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 Thanks so much, Tyler. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Fred. I'll see you later.
And on the other side of the break, we're going to be finishing up the show with Jim Turner. We got some great stories lined up.
So stick around.
Solamente una vez.
Top of mind awareness is when people think of your company, your product, or your service first to fulfill their needs. One of the most effective ways for your business or organization to achieve top of mind awareness is through radio advertising. Accurately Advertising has over 40 years' experience in the advertising field. As creative advertising practitioners, Accurately Advertising is in the idea business. Creative energy centers on breakthrough ideas that build and maintain strong relationships. These ideas are developed by Accurately Advertising through research and managed from conception, implementation to post-campaign evaluation. Call Accurately Advertising today to achieve top-of-mind awareness for your business. Visit AccurateLyAdvertising.com or call 546-9707. Accurately Advertising is all about big ideas. Call today, 546-9707.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff, and joining us once again is friend of the show, state historian Jim Turner. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good.
Now, during the break, we were talking about a bunch of stuff, but we want to remind folks, that there is a book signing coming up. It's funny. We didn't even have any beer and brats. Sorry. We had no beer and brats this week,
Fred.
And so,
Jim. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Let's get this back on track. Jim, you've got a new book coming out. It actually has come out. It's on. Yeah. You can get it today on Amazon.com. It's called Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. $26.13 is the price, and free with Super Saver shipping.
Wow.
So you actually get it shipped to your door for no extra cost.
Yep.
Amazon.com. Just look up Jim Turner. And this book is all about all the great stories that and the history of the state of Arizona.
Actually, it is kind of a textbook. It does cover prehistory to the present, just about every big event that happened, the railroad coming, the Civil War, the Gadsden Purchase. So I actually use it when I teach at Central Arizona College.
Wow. It's fabulous. Tons of pictures.
Yes.
Great pictures. A lot taken by you of things that are rarely seen by folks in anywhere.
Right.
And let's talk about, you have a website.
Right.
Tell me about your website.
It's www.jimturnerhistorian.org.
Right.
And it's got a lot of the stories that I have written for newspapers. It's got, it has 100 jokes about how you know that you live in Arizona. When you no longer associate rivers and bridges with water, you know you're in Arizona.
Okay.
So
you also got a story on there about JFK.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you share that with us?
JFK was an Arizona cowboy. I think that's what I call the story. And when I was working at the Arizona Historical Society, I made friends with a fellow who volunteers at the Benson. It's a San Pedro Arts and Historical Museum. And he showed me a picture one day, a newspaper picture, a very old picture. And he said, you recognize this guy in the picture? And here's a young, skinny JFK sitting on a fence rail with cowboy boots on. And he's in Benson, Arizona at the J6 Ranch.
And what's he doing in Benson?
Well, he went to the London School of Economics and came down with lung trouble. I think he'd always been a sickly kid. And so his dad knew a retired banker who had the J6 Ranch in the Benson area. So he sent John and his brother, Joe Jr., to the ranch for, I think it was 6 months or so, to recuperate. And while he was there, they had him doing stuff around the ranch. It was kind of a working vacation, and he built some sort of a house. I don't know whether it was a supply or what kind of deal, but he got done with it, and they were so proud of it, he called it the House that Jack built.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And what year was that?
Probably in the late 30s.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
but
awesome.
You can find it. You know, it's been a while since I wrote that story, all the details. And then he came back to Arizona after the PT-109
incident,
we'll call it. He was at Castle Hot Springs, just north of Phoenix, at Lake Pleasant there. And he was there to recuperate, and then he got kind of tired of it. It was kind of, after he got healthy, it was kind of boring to be way out there at the resort, the
sure.
spa, because it's mostly older people. So he stayed in Scottsdale and just availed himself of the nightlife in Scottsdale in the 1940s.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. That's a great story. So you've got all kinds of stuff like that on your website
at
jimturnerhistorian.com.
Yes.
Great.
.org.
Yeah. .org.
Yeah.
Okay.
I misspoke myself. Yes, .org.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the book.
Yes.
Fred was saying a minute ago that you're going to have a big book signing for this book.
Right.
Where's that going to happen?
The launching is at Medicine Man Gallery,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's 7,000
East
Tankaverde, right where Sabino Canyon comes into Tankaverde. It's just on the southwest corner of that intersection.
Right.
And so that's on October 22nd, Saturday, October 22nd, from 4 to 6.
Great.
And my friend Ted Ramirez is going to play.
Oh, yeah. We love Ted Ramirez.
He's great.
Yeah, he's a great musician.
Yep.
So give our listeners kind of an idea of what, when they buy your book, what they're going to read about.
Well, as I said, it starts with prehistory. I like to do my histories, and even if I'm given a one-hour talk, I like to start like James Michener with the spinning ball of molten lava and work up from there. You know, but this is abbreviated. We start with the Grand Canyon and the plate tectonics, the things that brought the minerals to the surface, because really, minerals is what Arizona is all about. And so the first chapter is geography and geology. And, of course, the rivers, such as they are, made it very important. The second chapter is indigenous people. So we've got your prehistoric Indians, and, you know, that's very important with the Indian ruins and everything else. We've probably got as many, if not more, than any other state in the Union. And every chapter starts with a poem. And I just thought, you know, I was looking for something for chapter two, Arizona Indians Past and Present. And I just typed in cliff dwelling because I've got a lot of pictures of cliff dwellings. And I got this poem. So I'm halfway up the limestone wall. That spot of black is not a stain or shadow, but a cavern hole where someone used to climb and crawl to rest from his besetting fears. It's written by Robert Frost. And I thought, who knew, 1947, who knew that Robert Frost wrote about cliff dwellings?
That's great.
But I just kind of, I put a poem at the beginning of every chapter because...
That was probably one of the hardest things you had to do with the book.
It was fun, but it was a challenge.
Sure. To find something that makes sense with that
chapter. That connects with that chapter. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
So during the break, we were talking about all kinds of stories that you have in the book.
Yeah.
And the one that immediately brought a smile to your face was the German tunnel escape. Can
oh,
you tell
yes,
our listeners
absolutely.
About that?
This was, there were POW camps in Arizona. And at Papago Park, right by Scottsdale there, they were submarine officers and submarine sailors, you know, from the German submarines. And they figured, what better place than to put them in Arizona where, you know, they're really a fish out of water, literally.
Right, literally, yeah.
And so these guys kind of had the run of the camp and they started to dig a tunnel. And they, with the ruse of building a volleyball court, and so they're digging and they're all the dirt that they put out, they just keep putting it on top of the volleyball court. But one of the guards left a truck parked where they could get to it, and they found a map in the glove compartment, and they saw the Salt River. And so they were digging out to a canal, and I think it was about 130 feet. I got the details in the book. But so they had a big party Christmas Eve, and the other prisoners made a lot of noise and distractions, and they finally broke through, and they got out, and they get out to this canal, and it's dry. I mean, there's like maybe a little mud in it, but that's it. And then they had actually built kayaks and tested them in the prisoner of war camp where the guards couldn't see them. They were on the other side of the tower, other side of a building, so they couldn't see them. And they dug a little trench and they floated these things to see if they could work.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I was at a convention in New Mexico. but it would have been about 8 years ago. And some of these guys were there, some of the Germans that had escaped. And they had pictures of the sketches of the kayaks that they built. So they get all the way out to the canal and they said, okay, we're going to have to trudge the canal. And they got all the way to Salt River and there's no water in that either. And so one of them was quoted as saying, stupid Americans, they put a blue line on the map when there's no water there. But
wow.
Some of them were out for about 30 days, and some got very close to the border, to the Mexican border, before they were all finally captured.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Wow. And in the first part of the show, you talked about a Mr. Oatman.
Actually, it was Olive Oatman.
Mrs. Oatman. Okay.
Well, it's a girl.
Okay.
The story of the capture.
The capture of the Oatman girls. Yeah.
Okay, and tell us about that.
Well, in 1851, you know, we had the gold rush. Everybody's going to California, and they're coming through Arizona because they don't want to wind up like the Donner Party, you know, in the snow in the Sierra Nevadas. Mm. Arizona's pretty flat, and it's got a nice route across Arizona. They follow the Gila River. Well, this one family started to head out on their own. They weren't with anybody else. And they had one wagon, and there's like, I think it was a mom and dad and seven kids or what have you. Olive is about 12, and her sister Marianne, I think, is 8. And they were attacked by Yavapai Indians right by Gila Bend there. And the Indians killed the rest of the family. And Olive and Marianne were captured by Yavapais, lived with them for a year. They kind of, you know, made them their slaves and whatnot. But then the Mojave Indians came over from the Colorado River and traded. There was the chief's daughter really liked these girls, and Dad, can you get these girls for me? So they traded some blankets and horses, and they got the Oatman girls, and they lived near Parker, Arizona, just above Parker, Arizona, kind of between Lake Havasu and Parker, were the Mojaves, maybe a little farther up than that. But they lived there for 5 years. And the brother escaped. The Indians thought they had killed the brother, but then threw him off a cliff. But he recovered. The Pima Indians nursed him back to health. He got over to California around Riverside. And for 5 years, he tried to get people to help him go get his sisters. And eventually they did. They recaptured the sisters. And by that time, Marianne had passed away. But Olive, a minister, wrote a book about the captivity of the Oatman Girls, published in 1857. And it sold like hotcakes. People wanted to know about women captured by Indians. So it was a bestseller. And she went on the lecture circuit. She spoke in New York. She spoke in San Francisco. They wrote a play about the captivity. Junius Booth, John Wilkes Booth relative, Junius Booth was in the play in California. But she was one of the first national celebrities, and
wow,
one of the first women that was allowed to go on the lecture circuit. They had, you know, the women for suffrage, Elizabeth Cady Stanton and some of the others, but otherwise they didn't allow women. And the most interesting thing is they tattooed her chin with blue triangles and lines, which was something the Mojave Indians did. It wasn't wasn't a punishment or anything. It's just something attractive. So she's on the lecture circuit, and she's America's first tattooed lady. And
wow.
There's a wonderful book called The Blue Tattoo by Margot Mifflin, and it does a wonderful job of telling the story through Olive's own writings, because she was interviewed by newspapers, and she helped write this book called The Captivity of the Oatman Girls. So it's an Arizona story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many of those stories in your book.
Yeah. Well, and it goes, you know, there's stories on just about every decade. You've got mining stories, you've got depression stories, you've got World War II stories. All of it's in here.
You wouldn't think that Arizona was a big hotspot for World War II stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I just passed by the Navajo.
The Navajo Code Talkers.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Oh, that's true.
But
the Code Talkers,
even more importantly than that are the Bushmasters. And, you know, even when Ken Burns did his World War II thing, he didn't mm-hmm. talk about the Bushmasters. And that's the Arizona National Guard. And the thing is, in southern Arizona in particular, if you wanted to join the military and fight alongside your brother, for instance, if you just joined the Navy, they'd send one guy this way and one guy that way. But if you joined the Arizona National Guard, which is the 158th Battalion, nicknamed the Bushmasters, you could go in and serve in the same unit as your brother. And a lot of Hispanic families did that. And so,
big brother watching out for little brother,
absolutely,
kind of
thing. Or cousins, or mm-hmm. this neighborhood, this whole neighborhood, and a lot of Tohono O'odham. So this whole unit that fought in the Pacific did the island hopping from all the way from the beginning,
from
all the
Peleliu,
way to the end,
all the way to
all the
end.
Way through. And MacArthur said they were one of the best troops out there. You know, and they were called the Bushmasters. They were first stationed in Panama, and of course the Spanish helped out a lot there. But it is a unit that is, no, I would say probably 80% to 90% Hispanic and Native American. And the Bushmasters are well decorated and well recognized, but, you know, they don't wind up in the textbooks or in the documentaries. So I thought, yeah, I want to put the Bushmasters in here.
Now, are there any Bushmasters that are still alive here?
Oh, yeah, I've met some of them. I can't remember any names particularly right off the top of my head, but yeah, there's Bushmasters that are still around.
Well, that sort of begs the question. Are there other stories in the book that are atypical of what you would read about Arizona history?
Well, yeah, I've got a whole section here called The Forgotten Founders. And Stu Udall wrote a book about 10 years ago called The Forgotten Founders. And his premise, it's a very wide sweep from the Mississippi on, all of Western history from the 1840s on. And what he's saying is that most books talk about you know, the mountain men and the lone cowboys and the military, and these are the pioneers that founded the West. What he's saying, it was farming families. And more than that, it was religious communities, starting with the Catholics, with the Spanish in Arizona.
Right.
And then in Oregon, it was the Methodists. All the Oregon territory was communities. And then, of course, in Arizona in the 1870s, we had the Mormon communities doing that. And that's why Udall is interested in it. But I have a whole section after the cowboys about the forgotten founders, because the military came and went. They were stationed here and they left. The prospectors came and went. They went on to Colorado or Alaska or something like that. But the families that came to settle eastern Arizona, northeastern Arizona, Snowflake, Thatcher, all the way down, those families are still there. They're five or six generations because they're the founders of Arizona. They're the, you know, they're the backbone.
Now, who are some of those people?
Yeah, and what brought them here? I mean, what enticed them to come to a place where the Apache were, where these Indians were, you know, these native peoples were not happy they were here?
Well, in the case of the Mormons, it was because, you know, they didn't really get along in other places. So they, you know, absolutely had to move to Utah. But it was Brigham Young that said, you folks, this you hundred here are going to go to Arizona and start another community there. So it was kind of the direction of the church that mm-hmm. you're going to go and found these communities. So it was a plan to do that.
And off they went.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So the forgotten founding fathers.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing.
Of Arizona.
Of Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. What other, so you've got the indigenous people, you've got the forgotten founders, you've got all kinds of stories. Any other
yep.
atypical of Arizona that you read the book and you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
I think not enough is done in these kind of books with tourism in Arizona and how big it is. You know, when they close the state, the highway rest areas, mm-hmm. you know, and the state parks, especially the museums, you know, mm-hmm. where good friends of mine worked. They didn't realize that tourism since the 1920s, well, actually since the 1880s, tourism has been very big in Arizona. Grand Canyon, of course, but Route 66. And I've got probably half a chapter on Route 66 and lots of pictures of those tourist camp places and you know, the advertisements for the motels and all of that
stuff. Yeah, that's very cool history.
Yep, yep.
And, I think that's something that's kind of coming back a little bit, where you're getting your parents, you know, the small families are getting back in the car, and they're kind of driving to places within the boundaries of the United States.
Well, because of the money for flying, it's kind of a staycation.
Expensive.
It's a staycation. But this can act as kind of a tour book because you see little towns like Oatman and Thatcher, and you go, oh, they got prehistoric camel bones in Thatcher. You know, I didn't know that. Let's go see them. And I'm sure some kid looking in here and seeing, you know, the saber-toothed tiger skull or the prehistoric camel bones is going to say, Dad, take me here. I want to see that stuff.
That's great.
Yep.
Now, there's other just little interesting tidbits, and it's not necessarily written about, but there's pictures here of a recreation of the Spirit of St. Louis.
It's full size, too.
Full size. It looks like it's been done in...
It's Ocotillo and Prickly Pear by Hal Burns.
Yeah.
Hal Burns' florist has been here forever. And in the 1920s, he built the Spirit of St. Louis out of cactus. A full size. And the picture's in the book.
It's totally cool. And there's a picture of the first female pilot to bring mail into Tucson.
Kathleen Stinson. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so speaking of florists...
Yeah.
You know, at this point in the show, we usually
give away roses
from our friends at
Mayfield
Florist.
Not this week, even though we love those Coleman boys.
We do love the Coleman boys. We're going to give them a break for a week.
Right.
Okay.
But at the beginning of the show, we talked about one of the monikers for the state of Arizona.
Yes.
It is known as Grand Canyon State.
Right.
It has probably a couple other names.
Baby State.
The Baby State, that's right.
Yep. The Baby State.
It was the youngest, it was the last of the continental U.S.
State. Okay,
it's the last state, so we're the baby state.
Cool, man. Very cool. Very cool. So what's your question, Fred?
Well, we talked earlier that this state's centennial is coming up
right
next year.
Right, on Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Hey, Valentine's Day.
Oh,
gave it away.
Oh, jeez. I didn't get the memo.
How does he do it?
I didn't get the memo.
No, but he gave you the cue.
529-3508 gets a copy.
The first person to call in and tell us what the state's name nickname is based on its date of being brought into the Union.
Right.
We'll get a copy of Jim's book.
Yeah, you know, folks, you don't need to worry about calling now. The phone is already up. Jim.
That was an easy one.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Fred. Took his fire away. So, Jim, thanks a bunch for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
This book is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Amazon.com. It's Jim Turner, Arizona Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. Jim, we hope you sell a million of these things
because
they're wonderful.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And don't forget the Medicine Man Gallery.
October 22nd.
Yeah. So, folks, thanks, Jim.
You're one
of the great people that make Tucson a great place to live.
Thank you.
And, folks, we'll see you again next week. We've got the tennis guru of Tucson, Coach Jim Rifkin, coming on. So, Fred, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Good evening, Tucson.
A mi mente, recuerdo de otros tiempos.
Got something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.